Right, good morning. I brought a lot of stuff, so I got to lay it all out. Okay, it is good to be back here with brothers and sisters on this side of the earth. And yeah, so this time I decided not to prepare any slides or PowerPoints because I tend to have technical issues when I come here. So I'll tell enough stories that you will not be bothered by that. Thank you for having me. My name is IBK, like Jeremiah said. I'm butchering his name. Yeah, Jeremy. I'm here with my family. There's Phoebe, my wife, and China Ann and Jaden. They had been away in China for 3 months and came back in September. Time flies. And Lynn is also, she works with us at the office. If you don't have a Lynn, you need one, but just one is enough. I just got back from a week trip to Sedley, Saskatchewan. It's a very small town. And we had a provincial director's meeting there. So I'm the director for CF Manitoba. And then we had gathered all the provincial directors from across Canada. So Saskatchewan, Alberta, Ontario, BC, Atlantic, Quebec, and someone from the national office, Gwen Ford. And it's always a great time to, it's kind of like a bit of a rest time. We're not doing our regular daily schedules of go, go, go. So it's a bit of a rest, encouragement. We share knowledge and ideas. It's a time of unity, praying for one another, learning from one another. We have devotions, lots of meeting times. But most especially, we share stories with one another, stories that honor God and what he's doing across Canada through the ministry of CEF, and also our personal lives. So it's a very good time. I just got back on Friday evening, so still getting used to being back home, getting into the rhythm of things. But today I will be bringing a few of those stories to you. But before I read some of those stories, I will dive into God's word, and we will share one of the stories. This one is from the book of John, John chapter 6. And it's a common story many of us have heard. It's the feeding of the 5,000. So I will read from John 6:1. It says, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And note verse 6, John says, he said this to test him, for he himself knew that what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. All right, I will stop there for now. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of those stories that is actually in all one of those few the miracles that is in all four Gospels. And every time you read a little bit in each of the Gospels, you learn a little bit more about the story or the account. In Mark, it talks about how much it costs to feed a crowd that size. It talks about, in a different book, how many men. And this is just, there was more than 5,000. This was just 5,000 men. So it's estimated that it was in the 10,000 range. But in John, it talks about, in the book of John, chapter 6, it talks about the test. Jesus did this to test his disciples, to test Philip. He asked to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And with the small lunch that a boy had brought, Jesus was in Jesus' hands, was more than enough to do what was needed. Another verse, Zechariah verse 4, chapter 4, verse 10, says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." God uses little things to do amazing things that brings him glory. And I think that's kind of a testament of the ministry of CF in Manitoba and across Canada, where we see God using those little things, what we consider little things, to bring himself glory. So the first story I'll be sharing with you is the story of John Claude. John Claude was one of over 120 missionaries, summer missionaries, that served with CEF this summer. So across Canada, we hire students, we train them, and they go out to teach in what is known as Vacation Bible Camp or five-day club, which I believe your church hosts during the summer. And across Canada, we're more united in the way we recruit, train, and equip those students. So John Claude was one of those missionaries that served this summer. And John Claude was born in Congo. It's a country in Africa that's plagued by a lot of war for a very long time. John Claude grew up in a Christian home, so he knew who Jesus was at a young age. And one night, as a teenager, John Claude heard, he felt like he heard from God, that God was going to take him away to a faraway land. So that was kind of like a revelation for him, that he will be led by God. But in December of 2012, when he was living in a small city, a group of rebels attacked John Claude's town, and many people, unfortunately, were killed. And they forced a lot of young people to come along with them while they captured the city. On the day that the rebels attacked John Claude's town, John Claude was actually not feeling very well. He was already sick, and so while they were hiking up through the bushes, one of the soldiers kind of took mercy on John Claude. He thought, "You're not gonna make it. Like, I don't wanna have to deal with you dying while we're getting there, so just go away." So John Claude was led to go, and a few other people too, so they ran away. But they could not go back home. Their village was already burned down, so he fled all the way first to Uganda, and then later he ended up in Kenya, where he sought refuge. So John Claude was a refugee in Kenya for many years, and he started to work hard even in the refugee camp. He was trusted with responsibilities, and eventually he was able to open a small barber shop right in the refugee camp. But he was doing okay for a bit, and then one time in 2016 he was attacked again by two individuals who were trying to, they thought he had money on him, so they tried to take it from him. He didn't have anything, but they ended up beating him up and leaving him almost for dead, pretty much. So they broke his jaw. John Claude used to sing before, but after that he wasn't able to. So he healed from that. He needed surgery. He healed from that. And on August 10, 2017, while he was still on the camp, he heard about a tragic fire that was intentionally set on the camp. And in that tent, there was a family with six kids. The parents died and three children. So there was just three children left. They survived, but their parents had been killed. But at this time, Jean-Claude thought that he felt God compelling him to take these children in. He already lost his family when he ran away from Congo. So he was looking to help as much as he could. So he reached out to the Kenyan government requesting to adopt the three kids. And it took about a year, and eventually he was allowed to adopt them, and he got married in 2015. After spending about 10 years on the refugee camp, eventually Jean-Claude was given three options. One would be to go back to his country, Congo, which was still not safe. He could apply for a Kenyan citizenship, which would take a long time to get, but they guaranteed that he could get it. Or he could settle in a third country, like a foreign country, like Canada. So they prayed about it, and they thought about it, and they asked for the third option. And in 2024, last year, Jean-Claude and his family was able to come to Ottawa, where he settled in as a permanent resident. It was in Ottawa that he got introduced to CEF, and Jean-Claude was already doing some ministry back in Kenya, some children's ministry. So he was familiar with reaching children, and he fell in love with the mission. I fell in love with the training. He was impressed by the love and dedication and how easy it was to use the tools that CEF develops to reach children. So he was one of the missionaries that was serving this summer. But before the summer was over, Jean-Claude thought, I want to do this long term. I want to serve. I want to work with CEF. So he approached Ivan. Ivan is the CEF director for Ontario. And he said he wanted to work with CEF. And Ivan already knew some of Jean-Claude's story. So he said, after all this that's happened to you, how do you still keep going? Like, what's compelling you? And Jean-Claude said, I love Jesus and he loves me. And that's all it takes. And he also said, well, on top of that, he said knowing Jesus as a child helped him through his life sufferings and some of the things that he had gone through, the challenges of life. So he said if he had not known God as a young age, he would have had a hard time forgiving the people that had hurt him and his family, or perhaps even led to a point of suicide or depression. But his faith taught him the importance of forgiveness and patience, and he trusts God for his daily bread. Well, Ivan was impressed and thought, well, I mean, yeah, to work with us, you would need to raise support. Like, you just got here, you don't know a lot of people, it's a lot of, you know, you're gonna have to raise a lot of money. And Jean-Claude said, yeah, I'm not worried. God has my back. God will provide. And even though Ivan wanted to be positive and as encouraging as he was, Ivan told him to go and pray about it because it was not a small decision. He at least needed to raise a year's salary. Jean-Claude went home, talked to his wife, and within a couple days came back to Ivan and said, yeah, my wife said it's okay. And Ivan was a little bit shaken, like, it's a big decision. Like, you have three kids, and, you know, like, we can't pay you. We can't afford to pay you. If you came on board, you would have to raise a year's salary by November. This was already at the end of August, after the summer missions was getting wrapped up. And again, Jean-Claude said, I am not worried. God will provide. I don't know how, but he will. So Ivan talks about... during this time, he had reached out earlier in the summer to one of their supporters. He had reached out to him for coffee, and this supporter was too busy. He said, yeah, we'll get together, but 2 months went by and nothing. So eventually, around September, this supporter reached out to Ivan, and he said, oh yeah, I'm free now, we can go for coffee. So they met up, and Ivan was able to share the story, like Jean-Claude's story, with him. And the supporter listened and he said, you know what, Ivan, just recently I had been thinking about how to give back to the ministry, because he kept getting compelled about ministry in Africa. His grandparents and his parents had served as missionaries in Africa for a while, in Congo, actually. And so he was kind of taken aback by this story. And he said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to cover his salary for a year. And Ivan, again, was humbled because he was like, that's a lot of money, but wow, that's amazing. That helped his anxiousness go back. So eventually he met up with Jean-Claude and told him the good news. And Jean-Claude was like, yes, thank God. I'm ready to start anytime. But again, Ivan right away thought, well, that's just 1 year. You still need to raise support for the next year. But sometimes it's hard for us to move past those obstacles, you know, like when Jesus was seeing the crowd, he isn't it interesting? He asked the question, even though he knew what he was going to do, but he asked the question, how are we going to feed these people, right? And that was a test for his disciples, as it is much for us. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was not in the bread, it was in the obedience. The miracle didn't happen when Jesus, like, they gave him the bread and the fish. He blessed the food and he gave it to his disciples to distribute it. And it was while they were distributing it that the multiplication happened. So it's really us taking those actions, trusting God for the multiplication. So where Philip saw lack and Andrew saw little, and Ivan, the director, was filled with seeing the time limits and time crunch, Jesus sees potential. So once again, Zechariah 4:10, do not despise the day of small beginnings. It's not in the resources that we are to place our confidence in. In fact, the small resources reveal where we place our confidence. It's supposed to be on God who does the multiplying. So a lot of our missionaries actually can resonate with Jean-Claude's story. Over my 11 years serving as the director for CF Ministry in Manitoba, I have heard a lot of those kinds of stories. I don't know if you get our newsletter here, but if you take a look at the missionaries who served in Manitoba this year, you can see that there is really a lot of them are immigrant families who have come here, and they have their stories, including myself, stories of how they ended up here. And in a way, it's like a full circle thing that God is doing. And it's amazing that God is using this people that have the gospel was at some point brought to them to now be in Manitoba, in Canada, doing God's work. Another story, this one is from a little girl who also served this summer. And I'll share just a little bit of her story. Her name is Amy. And Amy grew up in Ontario. Well, she was born in Mexico and she moved to Ontario. And at a time in her life, she believed that she needed to appear a certain way so that people would like her. When she was 16, she would often deny God in public or in her school or in her job, but in church she was a different person. She would pretend like everything was fine in her life. So she admits to being a little bit two-faced. And during one of the summers that she was serving with CEF and a five-day club, she would be teaching the kids about God. But she sometimes would hesitate because she knew that she was being a little bit two-faced. In fact, sometimes she was questioning if God exists. But as the training started and she was trying to prove to her peers that she knew the Bible, she followed God, she started to feel convicted. And in one of the clubs, she was drawn to one of these kids who, in the first day of club, he was very rowdy, always disturbing the club. But because of the nature of the club, he was starting to get involved with the singing and the memory verse. And in fact, by day three, the parents had sent the host a video of the kid doing one of the memory verses at home, because she was encouraged that he was beginning to change. And so they got encouraged, Amy and her team got encouraged, and they decided that they're gonna prepare a small gift for this child. Unfortunately, in the surrounding that this club was in Ontario, it wasn't, it was known for being a violent part of the town. They frequently had gun violence and a lot of broken families. So this 12-year-old boy, by day five, he was not in club. So Amy and her team were already ready to give him this gift that they had prepared. It had a Bible, devotional journal, and something that he could use to share his newfound faith with other kids. But sadly, when they came to club, they learned that two kids, including this boy, had been murdered. And so Amy, at that point, decided that was gonna be the last time she was gonna be two-faced. She was broken down with her team, and she cried out to God. She wanted to hear from God. She said, "Do you really exist? I want to hear from you." So she and her family were going on a trip to some camp, a campground near a lake. And on this particular Sunday, she just decided that she was just gonna walk away from her family, find a little bench close by the lake, and just cry out to God. And after a good hour of crying, she decided that was enough crying. So she looked for her family, and her family was not there. Her family had left. So she was confused. Why would her family leave her in this campground? And she looked at her phone, and she saw she had gotten a lot of missed calls. So her family had been trying to find her. They had another appointment, so they had to leave. But they had been looking for her. And they called out to her. They went to the lake where she claimed she was. They called her phone several times, and eventually they had to leave. But when she asked them where they looked, because she was sitting on the bench right by the lake where they claimed they had looked, they said, "We went there three, four times. You were not there." And then at that point, Amy realized what had happened. She asked for a moment with God, and God answered. But she didn't realize that God had given her what she was asking for. And in fact, at that point, even her family was not aware where she was, but she was there the whole time. Amy today is joining the CF Manitoba team. She's going to be starting with us in January, and she's going to be taking over the ministry of Discovery Time, which is the ministry we have in the public schools. So hopefully one day you can hear from Amy herself. So what's the connection with all this? It is, again, that quiet act of obedience, starting with what we have, the little that we have, not what we wish we had. In CF Manitoba, we have our programs. We have our five-day clubs, Discovery Time, where we are able to reach almost 2,000 children with the gospel. And like I said, just came back from Sedley, where we're sharing stories of things that are happening in Quebec, in Alberta, Saskatchewan, where they're sending club DJ discipleship materials even outside of Canada to Cuba. But really, God is blessing the faithfulness, which is the commitment to still go even when we don't always have the resources or the answers, or sometimes even the finances. We are compelled to bring our lunch to Jesus. So what's in our hand today? So what's in your hand today? Whether it's a skill, time, resources, So trust that God already has a plan and he already knows what he's going to do. And we are compelled or challenged to celebrate those small beginnings because we don't know where God is going to take it to. So instead of saying it's only two fish, we should be saying, look at what God has started. So some questions for you. Where in your life have you ever felt like something was too small to matter? What loaves of fish might you be holding back because you feel it is insignificant? What steps of obedience might God be waiting for before you see results? And what would it look like for our church to become a place that doesn't despise small beginnings, including the children? So this Christmas, let's remember the manger that held a little child, and let's focus on a brave, faith-filled mission to empower children with the power of the Gospels, the power of God's Word. We have in Manitoba Discovery Time, where again we can reach children right in the public schools. And we have something called the Mailbox Club lesson, where they can continue to be discipled outside of school and outside of church. And it is our goal to continue to reach kids wherever they are, not just on Sundays and not just in Discovery Time, that they can continue to grow in God's Word. And in my time in Sedley, we got empowered again with another resource. This is called the Go and Tell. This was developed by CEF Europe. And this kit allows us to train young children for 5 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, on how they can share the gospel with other children. So it's a children reaching children kit. So we give them the training. It's a bit of a journal that can walk them through that. And then they get this kit, which has the wordless book or the wordless bracelet, and they can share the gospel with other kids. So it is my vision that in 2026, this is something that we in Manitoba would want to be able to produce in-house and supply churches and ministries and parents to be able to train their kids so that their kids can, again, reach other kids. And for that to happen, of course, we're going to be reaching out to God, asking God to provide partners with us so we can produce literally thousands of Go and Tell kits and empower the children. I said in Discovery Time we have almost 2,000 kids. What would it look like if every one of them got a kit and was able to share the gospel with their classmates after this training? Would Discovery Time not double? I wanted to imagine that, picture that, and pray alongside with us. Maybe ask yourself, what little fish do you have that you can also contribute towards that cause? If you want to ask or talk to me more about that, you can reach out to me after the service. I have a form that you can fill out so we can connect later. But I am challenged to let God do what he does best, the multiplying, and then I can do the obeying, which is not always easy because we want to figure things out the way we're ahead. You know, we want to like have everything figured out before we take action. But again, just reminding myself, which is something that needs to happen almost daily at times, that he's the one doing the multiplying. I just need to bring what I have before me. So it is for the glory of God. It's to glorify the Father. And Jesus says that when he comes, I come that I may glorify the Father. It is him who is to be honored, not me. So finally, I'm just going to say, you know, at my time in Sedley, or even before then, I have had my own personal wrestling with God, just trying to take an account of, after 11 years in the ministry, how effective have I been as a leader, And the enemy will always try to whisper those lies that he's not really listening. You haven't done as much as Jerry in Alberta, you know, those kind of things. But I'm reminded that eventually, you know, it takes a while, but I'm reminded that God, someone said to me, God, the eternal God, who has all the wisdom, and he could do whatever he wants, decided that you are the person he wants at this time, in this position, for this season. So trust him. He knows what he's doing. And just obey. So that's what I'm going to be doing. So I will close up in a prayer, and that will be my time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I offer what I have today, and I pray that even if it feels small, I know that you can use it to reach the children that you love, children like John Claude or Amy, and many other children that we know in our midst here. My prayer is that you multiply our obedience for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.